I am super excited today to be chatting with our special guest because he's someone who's become something of a figurehead in the world of online marketing. He's done over $200 million in sales and he heads up what has become the longest running internet coaching program in history. He's written books, he's been a keynote speaker at countless conventions, and above all, he's a great guy who practices what he preaches. So it's a great pleasure for me to welcome Armand Morin.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm excited and I think we're going to have a lot of fun today.
Me too. Well, Armand, you've been around the internet now for many, many years, but how did your journey start?
Yeah, when I got started on the internet, it was many, many moons ago. It was back in 1996 is when I first got started. And what happened was I had just had one of my first companies created, and it was a long distance company, which means that we sold long distance services to local people, you know, home residences and businesses and things of that nature. And I just sold that company for a stock in another company, which, by the way, isn't always a good idea. Because I kept that stock, and a few years later, I got a notice saying that all that stock that I sold my company for was valued at 1 cent.
No.
Yeah, it was just a crazy, crazy experience, but it was great. It was my very first company, and that first company did $1.8 million in 7 months. And wow. I was extremely excited. And of course, that's the gross. That's not what I kept, of course, because basically what it turned into was only 1 cent. But after that, I had a bit of time on my hands, and at that time I was the technical person. I was the CEO of the company, and I handled all the tech things within the company. And so when I closed down the company, I kept really two things. I kept my laptop, which back in 1996 was state of the art. It had a CD player and a 3.5-inch floppy disk, so it was very special. But at that same time, I also kept my desk, and so those are the two things I left that company with. And everything I read was about the internet. And Bill Gates made a statement way back then, and that was, if your business is not on the internet, your business will be out of business.
Yeah.
And I thought at that time, Bill Gates was the richest man in the world. And I thought, if he said this, then I must pay attention to this. So I did what everyone else did at that time. AOL was sending out these disks, and I popped it into the computer and I jumped on. And honestly, I didn't even know what to do. I surfed around AOL a little bit to see what it was. And then someone told me later on that day that that's not the internet. That's just AOL.
Right.
And so I'm like confused. I said, well, what's the internet? They said, well, you have to click that little E. And of course, they were talking about Internet Explorer at the time. And so I opened that up and I'm like, well, what do you do now? And they said, well, you search for things. And I'm kind of flabbergasted. I'm like, this is never going to work. People are not going to do this. I mean, who's going to sit around all day and just search for things on the internet? And little did I know that that's what I basically do now all day. But the fact is that at that time I started doing what other people are doing. I started searching around, and within a few minutes I started searching for my competitors in the previous company that I had. And I discovered that they were actually selling things on the internet. Now, again, this is 1996. We have to put things in perspective. There was no Google. There wasn't Facebook. There wasn't all these social media. Social media wasn't even a thought at all back then. And so when I discovered that someone was selling something, I thought, well, what should I sell? And again, remember, this is actually still day one. I'm probably about 2 hours into my whole internet journey.
Right.
So, of course, I'm a pro at this point, right? So now what happened is I ran across this one website, and this one website changed my life forever. And when I went to this website, it was a very basic, plain website, and it said, if you give me $25, I will list your website on my website, and because I'm driving traffic to my website, you in turn will probably get traffic to your website. And so it was like a link directory, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I thought, man, that is the most simple idea that anyone could possibly do. And, I need to do something like that. So I went around and I said, okay, well, what do I need? I need to make a website. And AOL at that time provided this free software called AOL Press. And it promised me that within, 2 hours, if I followed their instructions, that I would have a website. And I thought, oh man, I can follow instructions. And I'm a little naive, so I believed them. So I went to work and I followed their instructions. And sure enough, 2 hours later, I actually had a website online. And my website said this: if you give me $25, I will put a link on my website to go to your website. And because I'm going to advertise this, you should get traffic to your website. So basically, yes, I admit it. I copied basically that other person's website. The other thing that I kept from my company, though, was a tiny software program that at the time was legal, where people could give you their checking information online and you could print a check that didn't require a signature on your end.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was very interesting. So I put this website up, and I had everything going against me because my website address was something like this: members.aol.com/some name/some other name, and then you finally get to my website. So it wasn't the easiest URL in order to remember. And also, it wasn't on a secure server, and I was asking for people's checking details on an unsecured form. Everything was going against me, but I advertised it on AOL in their classifieds and their different forums and message boards. And at the end of that first week, I had in total around $8,000 in sales.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, at $25 each, and I had this big stack of checks now that none of them had a signature on, that I had to go to my bank and try to cash, right?
That's
so
amazing.
They didn't believe me at first, but I brought in the law that actually told them that it was true that you can do this, and I had no problems from that point on. But again, this was my very first internet venture. We made $8,000 the first week, and there was a lot of work that had to be done because every person that ordered, I had to add another link to their website on my website. So you can see that my website went into multiple pages, and it was very crude, and it was all manual. There was nothing automated about it, and against all odds, it succeeded. And that was my very first venture where I made money, but I also knew that that wasn't going to, be long standing as far as a business idea. So I started looking around at other things on the internet, and I started saving things. Different bookmarks, different websites that said free internet access, free magazines, free calendar, free this, free that. And I thought, man, all these things sound really, really cool. And I had this big list of bookmarks, and at that time it was about 600 or 700 bookmarks. And I had this idea one day, and that idea was basically, well, if I think these things are cool, I bet you that other people might think these things are cool too. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, if I could put these bookmarks in an area where people could access them, then I could charge people for it. And that's what I did. I created a membership site. Again, back in 1996, we're still talking. I created one of the first membership sites out there, and I charged people $110 to access my bookmarks. Now, remember, the interesting part about this model is that I got something for free. Yeah. On the internet, which was a collection of links to other websites. This was just a collection of links, and that's all it was, organized and categorized. And I charged people $110 in order to access this. And the reason why it was $110 was at the time my thought was, well, I'm going to charge them an extra $10 because I don't want to pay the credit card fees.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So what happened is I marketed this. I started doing it the same way I did the other website that I had. And I put on classifieds, and the first day I got 10 sales. I'm like, man,
wow,
10 sales, that's $1,100. I'm doing pretty good at this. And then the next day, all of a sudden I had about 100 sales. And I'm like, oh man, I've just made, $1,100. $11,000 at this.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, this is nuts. And then by the end of the first week, I had about 1,000 sales. And
Wow.
At the end of that first week, again, 1,000 sales, $110,000 that we brought in just that one time. And again, I'm kind of freaking out because the reason why it went like that is because I had one thing that I thought ahead on that that helped. And that was I had an affiliate program. Mm-hmm. Where people could sign up and they could refer other people, and people were just referring everybody to this particular piece. Now, at that time, I had advanced. I had gotten a credit card account, merchant account to process my order. So I accepted credit cards. I had a legitimate website. But my website was actually only two paragraphs. It literally said the problem, and then number two, it said the solution, and then it had a button at the bottom that said buy.
Nice.
So very, very, very crude. But it started growing and growing and growing. And at the end of 12 weeks, I had sold over 35,000.
Wow.
And I brought in a total of $4.7 million at that point. $4.2 million, I'm sorry.
And it just goes to show that from tiny acorns, huge oak trees can grow, doesn't it? Because
and
almost you found this not by design. It was just this trial and error thing of I'll give it a go, and lo and behold, you struck gold pretty much on the first outing.
Yeah, I got lucky. I was at the right place at the right time, and I recognized an opportunity. And more importantly, though, is I wasn't afraid to act upon that opportunity.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people, they think of, well, what if this doesn't work? Well, what do you have to lose? That's really how I looked at it.
Yeah.
And I still look at things like that today. If there's not a lot of risk to it, I'm still going to take advantage of it. But that also started it wasn't all happy endings, and let's just put it that way. And the reason I say that is because at the end of that 12 weeks, I brought in $4.2 million, and I received a phone call from my merchant account company, and they said, "Mr. Morin, you've just processed $4.2 million," and I'm like so proud, and I'm thinking, "Oh, yes, I did." And what happened was the next words they said were, "Well, we have to shut down your merchant account. In fact, we already did, and also, by the way, we went into your bank account and took out $2.1 million.
Whoa. Why was this? Were they just concerned that this wasn't a legitimate thing, or that there could be some kind of scamming going on or some money laundering?
Exactly. That's exactly what their thoughts were, that there was something wrong in this. Remember, this was 1996 on the internet. This was one of the first major successes in this type of marketing and this type of products and digital marketing being sold. So I was really kind of an example that they were kind of looking at and not sure what to do, because their thoughts were, well, what if all these people refunded all at the same time? We'd be out all this money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what happened, it sounds really bad, and it was. I was devastated at the time. They took half my money. Now remember the situation. It sounds really good. I brought in $4.2 million. They just said that they took out $2.1 million, so they took out half.
Mm-hmm.
Now the other side of it, that other $2.1 million, you might be thinking, well, how bad is it? You know, $2.1 million can make you pretty happy still. Well, remember, I also said I have an affiliate program.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that affiliate program paid 50%.
Eek. Right.
So I now have $2.1 million that one person took. I have $2.1 million I have to pay my affiliates. And now I'm left with the remainder, which, as you can probably do some simple math, is nothing.
Yeah. Ouch. Ouch.
And so also, when they cancel your merchant account, they put you on a blacklist. That means that you can't get another merchant account.
Oh my. So you're really in it at this point, aren't you? In terms of you've done all this work and got zero to show for it.
I have got zero to show for it. Now, here's you know, you may be thinking this is a bad, bad, bad situation, but in reality, it was a great situation. And because that was really what started my internet marketing career. Because I would tell you, and I would tell anybody, that situation that I was in, and I did $4.2 million in 12 weeks selling free bookmarks. Hey, I was at the right place at the right time and had the right product and put it out there. But I wouldn't call it necessarily on purpose. It was by happenstance that it happened. But the next part was actually the most important part, because now I had a problem. I couldn't process credit cards, but I also knew that the internet was something that was definitely working. I had two case studies under my belt. I knew this could work. And my company at that time was on track literally to do $155 million that year if I was continuing on the pace, if I didn't get shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm here. I know that the internet can work. I can't process any orders because I don't have a merchant account. So how do I process credit cards without a merchant account? And that was my question, which led me to the search. And I kept researching and researching and researching. And I found out there's what's called a third-party merchant account, which you can use someone else's. And very similar to ClickBank today. ClickBank has their merchant account, you process through them, and they pay you and they take a higher fee than if you had your own merchant account. And that's fine. And there was a bunch of these, and I found 80 of them. And I thought, man, if I think these things are needed and I need these, and as I was doing my research, I was finding out that other people needed something like this too, because they couldn't get a merchant account because of their credit. I said, well, maybe I could just put this into a little tiny book. If I could put this into a little tiny book, I bet you people would buy it. And sure enough, it took me a lot longer than what it should, because I didn't know how to do it. But it took me about 4 months to put this together into an ebook at the time. And ebooks were a lot different to back then than they are today. Ebooks were basically software when they first originally came out. They were a bunch of website web pages put together in a software that you could open up offline, and you didn't have to be connected to the internet. That was the definition of an ebook back then. So I went through and I found a bunch of different ebook software, bought what I needed, and put this ebook together, put it out there for $19.97. And wrote my first sales letter for it as well too. And all of a sudden people started buying it. And in fact, that one ebook I sold for about 12 years. Wow. And every year it averaged just slightly under $30,000 a year.
So it's not a bad income from work you did just one time over.
Yeah, just that one ebook that I wrote, I think I only updated it like two or three times. It's all that was necessary. I never changed the sales letter from the first time I wrote it. It still stayed the same exact sales letter. And there was a lot of lessons learned during the process. But when I made that ebook, remember I said I bought a bunch of ebook software, but none of them were exactly what I was looking for. And I had this idea as I was creating this ebook out there. I said, man, if someone could create an ebook software that had all the positives of these, you know, six or so software that I bought and none of the negatives, I bet you they could make $1 million. And so I took the last bit of money I had. I had $5,000 in my pocket. And I said, okay, let's find someone that can make me the software. I don't know how to write software, but I'm sure I can find someone, someplace on the internet. And I found this company in Czechoslovakia and that could do it. And I paid them that $5,000. And I created this ebook software, and it was called Ebook Generator back at the time. And it turned out to be the best-selling ebook software on the whole internet.
Wow.
And it did make $1 million over the course of just a few years. But that also led me to other questions. People kept asking me, well, how do you make those graphics at the top of your website, those header graphics? And so I said, man, if someone could create a piece of software that would do that, then I bet you they could make a lot of money. And so I went to work, and I know I could outsource. And I found another company that would make me these graphics and put them into the software where people could easily put text on them, very much like a lot of the social media type software there is today that you can do in your browser. Well, back then we could only do it in a piece of software. Mm-hmm. So I created a software called Header Generator. Then I created another one called that could create PDFs without using Adobe called PDF Generator. And then I had another one that was that made pop-ups. In fact, it still is even to this very day, the number one pop-up software that ever existed. And it was called Pop-up Generator. And there's just millions of sites that are actually have that software on it right now. So it went into a series of about 34 different pieces of software that I had. And along the way, though, as I was marketing my software, eventually someone started asking me, how do you market your software? And what do you do? How do you write that sales letter? How do you do this? And how do you do that? And so it just eventually led me to start a membership site that was just about, what am I doing to marketing and to market my software, and how do I make my opt-in pages, and how do I do this, and what do I do for traffic, and all these different things. And so I created a membership site way back in the early 2000s. And at first it was called AM2. And the reason why it was called AM2 was because I partnered up with a partner at that time, which was Alex Mondozian. So it was Alex Mondozian and Armin Morin, right. AM2 squared. So that was the piece. And eventually Alex, you know, we just kind of grew, and he had different things that he wanted to do. So I bought him out, and then I changed the name of it. And now it's called Marketing University. And so what we do is we teach people how to market on the internet. Now, even today though, I still develop software because A, I like it. It's simple, it's easy. And it's something that when you see problems that people have, it's easy to fulfill that problem. And sometimes software, not all the time, but sometimes software is the answer in order to solve someone's problem that they have.
Mm-hmm. And I remember you saying earlier that, you know, when you first put your first product together, you wrote the sales letter yourself. I'm sure, yes. Now looking back at that time, you can kind of spot the errors that you made with that sales letter, the weaknesses in that sales letter, compared to what you know now. In terms of that journey, Armand, you know, going from, you know, your sure. very first product to today, has that process changed? You know, are you still as self-critical as you were perhaps back then?
Probably even more critical than I was back then, because I believe the markets are tougher today and people have seen a lot of different things. But the basic premise, though, is always the same. You see, when I was writing that very first sales letter way back when, I was stuck on the second paragraph for I don't know how long. I just couldn't get past it. And then for whatever reason, I thought about it from a different angle. And my background prior to getting on the internet when I was from 19 to about 25 is I sold vacuum cleaners door to door.
Okay.
So I was in front of people and I was selling to people, but I never felt it was actually sales. But when I got to that point in my sales letter, I said, well, what would you say? And this is the thought that I had going through my head, is what would you say to someone that was sitting across the table from you in order to sell this product to them? What would that conversation be? And when I thought about it from that angle, it was very easy. It just kind of flowed out of me. These are the things that that person's thinking. These are the things that I want to tell them about. And how do I put this into a conversation in order to make it make sense in their mind and in my mind as well, too? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And today, it's the same scenario. When I'm writing sales copy, what I'm doing is I'm having like a commercial in my head. It's like an infomercial that's running through my head. What would that voice say in that infomercial to sell this product to somebody? And what would that person want to know about in order to overcome what their needs are and also their objections?
Sure. And I guess the over time you've been able to develop those skills. So now those kind of things flow out a lot easier than perhaps they did right back at the start. Sure. So in terms of the marketing university that you put together, can you tell us a little bit more about that and also I guess the development from the software into the marketing university? Because obviously now you've got a number of successful products and now you've put them all together in one place under the AM2 brand, and then that becomes the marketing university.
Correct. Yeah, marketing university is basically everything about marketing. And let me explain. The way I look at marketing is that you have basically several different areas. Number one, the first area is coaching. Coaching, knowledge, and you need that in some way, shape, or form. I mean, it's hard for us to look at ourselves and critique it. And I think that's the best skill that you can have is that perspective as far as looking at yourself from a third party point of view. But a lot of times you just don't have the patience or knowledge or know what is happening in a marketplace to decide what is good, what is bad. And so the coaching and the training that we have, we do it different ways. Number one, I do a full seminar every single month for my marketing university members. And so I choose a topic. So let me give you an example. Last month happened to be about AliExpress. Is a lot of people want to know about drop shipping. I think one of the easiest things that you can do is utilize AliExpress as a drop shipper. And I show them exactly how to put together that member, that website, choose a product, market it, advertise it, and everything. And it's a 2-day seminar that's done live every single month. So every month's seminar is fully focused on just one single topic. Mm-hmm. And this way we can go in depth about, 12 hours or so roughly each and every month just on that one topic. So that's the first part of the training. Is every month we do a new training. Sometimes it might be on sales letters. Sometimes it might be on webinars. Sometimes it might be on another topic, but it's a topic that I think that people need or want to know. Then we also supplement that with our weekly training. So every Wednesday I do a brand new training for an hour that is on something maybe that I'm doing at that current time that I'm working on. Maybe it's something that's changed recently in Google. Maybe it's a new form of advertising that I'm utilizing, but it's where they can see me, see my screen, see exactly what I'm doing, and let me explain it without any kind of, let's say, commercial interruption at all. And throughout the whole membership site, there is no pitching or anything like that as far as me trying to force them or wanting them to buy something else. The third element that we have, depending on the level that they have of marketing university, is that they can come to my house. Now, over the course of the pandemic, we did virtual meetings and we have been doing virtual meetings, and now we're getting ready to open it back up where people can actually fly in from all over the world. They come to my home for a training session that's about 4 days, and we have multiple groups.